This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Old Tom, the King of Spring, Gallberry Joe. No matter the name, his call resonates within hunters all across the United States. We're talking about the wild turkey, and this is the Talking Tom Podcast.
We are coming at you with another awesome guest, and you're going to get two podcasts this week. So whenever you're listening to this, another one is coming very quickly behind it. We're talking to Bryce Hensley of Foxtrot Ammo. I know that TSS is kind of this thing that a lot of people are familiar with, but a surprising amount of people really aren't. And so what I wanted to do with this podcast was find a way to talk to a guy that I met in person who I knew was a turkey fanatic, one of the OGs of the TSS world, and answer some of the questions that I know you guys have. And that's exactly what we did. Now, we talked all things turkey. We hit him with the rapid fire, and we had a lot of fun with it. And I know you guys are going to enjoy it. But before we get to that, we got to talk about something important, and that is the fundraiser that we're doing for the Wild Turkey and Associated Wildlife Fund, Dr. Marcus Lashley. We talked about this before. I'm excited to announce that we have a t-shirt coming out. It'll come out probably next week. That will be added to the giveaway. So as an overview here, if you go online, if you look in the show notes, it's linked down there as well. If you go online and you buy a three-pack combo pack from the Honeycomb Custom Calls, who has collaborated with us, we're going to donate $5 to the fund. You're going to get 30 entries into that. We're going to kind of clarify some of this. So for every dollar you spend, contribute, pay towards this conservation, we're going to give you an entry into the pot. So if you spend $30 on a set of mouth calls, you enter $5 into the fund, and on top of that, you get 30 entries. If you buy a t-shirt, I'm waiting on the price, but I'm thinking this is probably going to be about a $30 shirt. You're going to get 30 entries, and all of the profit, I'm waiting on what that amount is going to go to the fund. If you donate directly to the fund, again, that link's in the show notes. For every dollar you donate, take a screenshot, send it to us. We will enter you dollar for dollar into that giveaway. And then lastly, the very final component to all of this is if you send us a photo wearing the shirt, we're going to give you bonus entries as well. So send us a photo, tag us on Instagram, things like that. We're going to enter you into this, and we're going to raise some money for a very important cause. So we're going to touch base with that as more as it comes. And the shirt is awesome. Parker McDonald, shout out to him and White Hawk Creative. He donated that logo. Florida Camo is donating camo and their infrastructure to get this shirt printed on demand for you guys. So check it out. Get ready. It's coming. It's a sweet shirt, and I cannot wait to show it to you guys. So with that being said, guys, welcome to the podcast. I hope you enjoy this episode. I know you will, but here we go.
All right. As I like to say, anything you say now can and will be used against you on the podcast airwaves. So,
right on.
I'm not going to lie. This is episode number two of the Talking Tom podcast. And there is a about face that's happening in my life. I was really big on the idea that I wasn't going to go to shows. I wasn't going to go and spend money going to these things, that I was going to spend more time in the woods, more time in the outdoors, and I'd produce more content. And when you're a podcast host, it's really important to have connections. And I completely overlooked that component of things. And I went to my first outdoor show actually ever, was down in Webster this past year, the Wild Turkey Extravaganza. Scott invited me to go down there, and I saw my turkey hunting mentor, who introduced me to Scott, who introduced me to, you know, to this guy and to that guy. And then Clay hooks me up with tonight's guest, and you end up networking, and you have all these really cool guys who have these really cool stories. And tonight we've got a guy that I think has got one of those really cool stories. And I'm excited to say that we've got Bryce Hensley on the podcast to paint the picture, right? I'm a Larry Munson, Georgia Bulldogs fan. Let me paint the picture for you guys here. I'm looking at a man who hails from the Midwest, and I can tell you that by nothing other than his backdrop. You've got three deer on the back wall back there that would make a Florida deer hunter absolutely envious. A long beard that is bigger than anything I think I've ever seen in this state, maybe twice as big. So, sir, thank you for taking time out your evening to BS with us for a couple minutes.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Yeah, man, this is fun. I'm excited about tonight's topic, because I'm going to be honest with you. The turkey, my tribe of podcast followers, we have a voice video chat space where we talk, and we talk topics. And tonight's topic that we'll get to, I'm just going to kind of let that sit over there and marinate and make people think and wonder what we're going to talk about. This is a contentious topic. And I don't mean that like a political contentious, because, you know, we don't do politics, but it's like, should I or should I not? Do I need to? Do I not need to? And there's a lot of like misinformation that circulates out there, and I'm excited to get to that. But before we do, we got to set the stage, dude. You are a turkey hunter through and through. We started this podcast off. I hadn't hit record yet, and I said I would give up an entire deer season for one extra week of turkey season. And I think I could see the hair stand up on the back of your neck, and you were all in, dude. You were right there.
Oh, yeah. If I could hunt turkey year round, that would be, you know, I'd be broke, but you know, but I would do it. I would find a way.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, they have a country where that's a thing. We can move there. New Zealand.
Is that New Zealand? Yeah. They need help. If we could figure out that they would pay us to kill turkeys, you know,
could you imagine?
We could really have a lot of fun.
Yeah. And three species. They have three species out there. So you can get a grand slam all in one piece of public land and
come back
and do it tomorrow.
Yep. All over again.
Oh, man. So, all right. There's 1,000 ways I could take this, but if you'll humor me and kind of talk about your origin story into turkey hunting, I think what you just said was awesome. You were saying you were a teenager when you saw your first turkey. Were you a deer hunter before that? And like, you were passionate about deer?
Yeah, started deer hunting at age 11.
Okay.
Loved deer hunting, you know, at family tradition here in the Midwest. Indiana's full of deer. While we were deer hunting, it was in the fall, we seen a wild gobbler cross the road in front of us. And I was in the back seat, and cousin driving, my dad's in the front seat. And I can't remember if it was my cousin or my dad. They always said, well, if it's a wild turkey, it'll fly. If it's a farm turkey, it won't. So we jumped out of the Blazer, the Chevy Blazer, and chased. Bam, he took off flying. And I was like, you know, you can see the rope on him. And he was a big gobbler. You know, even at 14, I could tell I was a good size. And that kind of lit the fire in me. I was like, one of these days, I want to kill a turkey. And of course, you know, after you kill your first turkey, you know, you got to kill another. You got to, you know, enjoy that experience all over again. And, you know, working for my dad and family in recycling, we had a yard in Anniston, Alabama, right there by Talladega. And the guys down there that we worked with, they turkey hunted and invited me to come down. So here, Indiana boy, don't know nothing about turkey hunting. I started reading as much as I could, learning what I could. And, went down there. I got to hunt 3 days, seen one gobbler, and, you know, have not killed a turkey yet in Alabama. Hopefully this year I'll have time, a minute I can hunt down there and get that accomplished. But I think that was in 2000 when that happened. So, you know, fast forward, I joined the NWTF forum. They had a great group of people there that I met. A lot of people that I'm still meeting for the first time that I've known, you know, it seems like for 15, 18 years. And, you know, you learn a lot from people who are diehard turkey hunters off of that website, which they got rid of that. But because of that, there was a couple other turkey hunt websites that came about. One of them was GobblerNation.com, started by Doug Updike. And Doug, he kind of got bored with it. And I really enjoyed the site. And, you know, I said, you know, if you want to sell it, I'm interested. And we struck a deal. And I bought it off of him. It's actually him and Rick Carroll, the guy that owned it with him. Rick Carroll's the IT guy, brains behind getting it all set up. But, you know, so with that, you know, I've owned, I think it's been 7 years now. And because of that, I always wanted to go to the NWTF convention and meet people and, you know, and soak up the turkey hunt experience with all the people that manufacture calls, stuff like that there. And so that was my first time. It was 7 years ago, right? When I bought Gobbler Nation, I was like, okay, now I have to do it. So, you know, my wife and I, and we started going down there to that show. And yeah, I had already been loading TSS for, you know, quite a few years. And it just delved into manufacturing ammo. And, you know, here I am, you know, full-time manufacturing of turkey hunting ammo, waterfowl, coyote, stuff like that right there. But it's been a, you know, looking back at the age of 14, seeing my first gobbler and thinking, man, I really want to kill one day, to where I'm at right now, it's been nothing but blessings.
That's awesome, dude. I think everybody's dream, at least on this call, is to have a career, a pathway in the turkey space, right? I mean, I think everybody thinks about that, and here you are doing it, man. Like, you're living that dream, and that is just there's people listening to this part of the podcast right now. They're like, son of a gun, you know?
Right. Well, you know, things happen, you know, doors open and you wonder about it at the time, what you're doing, you know, is this the right thing to do in business? You know, not so much that, am I going to get rich doing it? I've never thought about it like that there. You know, am I going to enjoy doing it? Is this something that's going to, you know, benefit my family? Of course, you know, you want that to happen. You don't want to go broke doing something. But when it comes to the hunting industry, I think everybody that loves the outdoors, they see other people and the things that they're doing. And, you know, they've got that thought. They got that idea. You know, when you get a thought and an idea and you've got that kind of passion, sometimes you just got to push and go and try. Mm-hmm. You know, I would rather try and fail, not, you know, but not wondering, you know, could I have done it? You know, should I have done it? You know, go ahead and do it. You know, you take like the podcast and everything. I want to do a podcast. I got everything to do it. But right now, with everything I've got going on, I can't. I can do a podcast with you guys and with several other people. But, you know, the time that it takes to do it and to do it right, you know, people like you are doing, having fun doing it. And it's, you know, it's your gateway and your pathway into the hunting world. And I see podcasts that's growing all over the place. And when you can do this and meet people, it's just a great thing, especially how everything grows. You know, word of mouth is awesome. And when you do something like this right here and you can project who you are and, you know, your hunting passion, that feeds into other people and that helps give them growth.
Man, I'm already inspired, Walt. I don't know about you, but he is already preaching words of wisdom from the get-go. So the listeners, they're in for a special treat tonight.
You know, what's funny, Bryce, is Daniel and I just had this conversation. Literally, was it like last Friday? We were talking about like, hey, how hard should we hit this? Like, how hard should we lean into the calls? How hard should we lean into the podcast? And there's this dialogue of like, every day we wait, it's going to be harder. Like, life's only going to get more difficult. You know, you're going to have more than one kid or a kid or a bigger mortgage, you know, like all these different things are going to start getting in the way. And I wrestle with this every day because I enjoy doing this and I feel like this is a fun thing to do. And I feel like I can contribute to a community that gave me a lot. And so if I could give back, you know, I had a lot of old men who invested in me in the way that was available then. There were no podcasts, right? YouTube was a fledgling thing, but those old men took a tradition and passed it on. And I hope with this series that that old pro way of going about things just kind of continues, that classic turkey culture just kind of continues to percolate. 'Cause
This community has been the most welcoming, and I know this is going to make a lot of people laugh, but the turkey community has been the most welcoming out of any of the outdoor spaces.
Absolutely.
I'll reiterate that there, the turkey hunting community, except for the ammo part of it with TSS and people that load and everything, that's kind of a secretive thing here, you know, so, but yeah, exactly. But you know, the turkey hunting community as a whole, very helpful. That, you know, that it's a passion that they all like, you know, we all want the same thing. The negative part of it is some people, they lose that focus and that thought that, you know, we're all a team, you know, like public land in some states is you can park there. You can be there for 3 hours before anybody else. And, you know, then all of a sudden you get two or three other people pulled right up there and they all try and race you to that one turkey. You know, people lose common sense. You know, some people don't have no heart, but I know that, from my standpoint, looking back 20 years ago on the NWTF forum, how things progressed in the hunting world, you know, that's quite a few years ago, you know, before YouTube really started going, before podcasts became a thing. A lot of the people was so helpful with me, like, you know, on turkey calls. And then of course, you know, when Indian Creek, the choke tube company, when they became a thing, I was already at that point, I was already starting to shoot heavy shots, you know, started early 2000s. And, you know, I always wanted the best that I could hunt with. You know, I want the best sounding turkey calls. I bought a lot of calls back in the day, you know, the very beginning, you know, just anything that, you know, I would buy it and then start running it. And I'm like, well, it didn't sound very good. Why did I buy it? You know? So if you have an ear for what a good turkey call sounds like, no, I'm not the best turkey caller in the whole wide world. You know, I'm mediocre. You know, I still say I'm in the third grade when it comes to calling, you know, so I just keep trying. And, you know, and I don't, because of that right there, I don't look at myself like I'm a champion or anything. There's so many people so much better than I am. And, you know, when you listen to people that know how to call and you can hear that, if you try and replicate that yourself, not just that there, but, you know, wild hens in the woods, you know, you try and sound like them. But back in the day, when it comes to hunting and patterning and stuff like that there with Indian Creek, there was a guy, Steve Conover. He went by Nighthawk. And then Scott Kirsch, he went by Sloppy Snood. These guys, they shot Indian Creek chokes. And they patterned everything, whether it was lead, heavy shot, stuff like that there. And, you know, with traveling, you know, I cut my teeth on going to Alabama before I ever hunted a turkey in Indiana. And when you travel, you absolutely want the best. You know, you want to know what you're shooting. You want to know your distance that you can shoot and stuff like that there. Because, you know what, gas money these days, the tags, what they cost and everything else. You know, why would you want to go, you know, three states away to kill a turkey and shoot a mediocre shell? And, you know, if it's too far, you know, if your gun's only shooting 40 yards, if it's at 50, I want to be able to squeeze that trigger and kill a turkey. You know, now my turkeys, I call them in as close as I can get them. But some people think of TSS as, oh, yeah, that was one thing in Webster that I just set back. I still laugh about it is. I talk to guys like, hey, man, what do you shoot? And they're like, you know, I shoot this and that there. I said, well, have you ever shot TSS? And most of the guys, I would say probably 70% of the response was that I heard, oh, I don't shoot that far. And I'm like, it's not about shooting how far, it's shooting the best, you know. And you know, to me, gosh, it cost me $60 to fill up my truck. And, you know, I can burn that up scouting around turkeys here in northern Indiana, you know, in a day's time. So, you know, it's ammo is probably the cheapest thing that you're actually going to spend money on in a turkey hunt. I mean, some turkey calls now at Cabela's are $15, you know, it should only be $5, but you know, it blows my mind is, you know, with everything, how much everything costs, you know, in the grand scheme of things, the shells really is the most important thing. And, you know, some people, they get it, some people don't.
So let's dive into it. So you are the owner of Foxtrot Ammo.
Yes.
When did you found Foxtrot?
April 1st will be 4 years.
I love
as that. As a business.
Is that intentional?
No, that's just when I got my FFL in the mail, and that's when I got it in the mail, and that's when they signed it was April 1st. So you know, I laugh about that because that is really funny. Yeah. I always thought, is the joke on me?
Yeah. Is it a real FFL or is it
exactly
a joke?
Right? Absolutely. Yep.
So how did you get into TSS? Because I feel like that's not just something that you just kind of like fall into. Like you had to have a reloading background before that, right?
Well, no, actually I did not. Which is really shocking. I never did any rifle reloading, pistol reloading. I did help a friend of mine when we were in high school. His dad reloaded shot shells, and we would do it for doves, ground squirrels, stuff like that. They're just shooting sporting clays. And, you know, a little bit of that right there, but I didn't, you know, doing lead and doing TSS are two different things. It's closely related, but, you know, it's its own entity. But on the NWTF forum, with all the shooting and patterning and stuff, I had a love for ammo and what shot the best, and the choke tubes, of course, and the guns, and, you know, how to make it shoot better than just a regular factory barrel would. You know, you could polish them, stuff like that. So as a duck hunter also, and that's why I started shooting heavy shot, is, you know, because steel shot sucks back then. It was really bad. It's a lot better now. So I bought heavy shot when it came out. I had bought some bismuth too. The bismuth was nearly as good as the heavy shot was. And because of being on the duck hunting forums, you know, I heard about this thing called TSS, and this guy named Kyle Smith, I can't remember if he's in Iowa or Kansas, but he's the one to introduce TSS to the American market for, you know, duck hunting. And, you know, I had known about that for quite a few years. And then on the NWTF forum, there was a guy who was selling shot, and me and a buddy were like, you know what? Let's load our own TSS, because, man, we're seeing these crazy cool patterns. It's better than anything I had ever shot with heavy shot or lead. And, you know, I wanted the best. And so we bought some shot. And shortly thereafter, I was trying to get the data, how to load it, and for a 12 and a 20 gauge. And I was getting no help. So I vented my frustration on the NWTF forum. And a guy on there said, hey, what do you need?
Whether you're just looking to stay warm during a hunt or need maximum concealment, the clothing you wear can make or break a hunt. At MidwayUSA.com, we understand hunting clothing has come a long way with more meticulously crafted camo patterns, advanced scent control technologies, and weatherproof options to withstand the elements. Hunters have to wait until their favorite season, but shouldn't wait on gear, which is why MidwayUSA offers super fast shipping. When you're ready for your next system, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it, all while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
And I was like, I have no idea what I need. I've got the shot. I've got these two reloaders. They're, you know, mech juniors, 12 gauge and a 20 gauge. I need help. His name was Tommy DeLiba. And Tommy messaged me and said, here's my number. Call me. So I called him, and he got my info and address. And he sent me enough components to load like 25, 30 shells for each. And over the phone and taking pictures, he helped me set up these reloaders. And I have actually today at our shop, my sister found these two shells from like 8 years ago when all this happened. And they are the ugliest looking crimps you had ever seen in your life. I mean, it's worse than it, you know, and we killed turkeys with that stuff back then. Yeah. You know, it's horrible. But, you know, when you look at that there and you look at what we're doing now, and it's kind of full circle. And but yeah, thanks to Tommy DeLiba, he helped get me started, and took me under his wing. And, you know, just because of that, it started evolving. You know, I was showing patterns all the time on the turkey forums, and then of course on Facebook. And friends, family hit me up for ammo. And I told my wife one day, I said, you know something, I really enjoy doing this, and I can see, you know, that I could actually make a business doing this. You know, I might not get rich doing it, but mm-hmm. You know, I had this push and this desire to do it. in a family business with recycling. Yeah, I traveled all over the country doing scrap cable TV wire. We ship that stuff to China. And I've been in every state except Alaska and Hawaii working. And, you know, with that, you know, in business, it got to a point where, you know, it was just giving me more gray hair. And, you know, I found myself gravitating. It's like I was being almost pushed to do it. And I just had that desire to do it. And, you know, so I contacted the ATF. I said, hey, look, what do I got to do, you know, to be a legitimate business? And they were very helpful and walked me through everything and got everything set up. And, you know, there's a lot of legwork in doing this stuff. I mean, it's anybody can actually do this, but it's, you know, you got to work your butt off, just like if anything. You know, if it was easy, everybody would do it. But, you know, it's one of those things that if you have a desire to do something and your heart's in it, then go for it. Push yourself to do it. So, you know, and now it's been 4 years of just about 4 years running flat out, growing every year, meeting people that I've known for, you know, in person from 15, 18, 20 years ago. And that is what is so cool is the people that I can look back that helped me in the turkey hunting, you know, calling, stuff like that there, how to load or, you know, how to make a barrel shoot by polishing it, better patterns with choke tubes and stuff like that there. And here I am now. I've got people that come up to me, you know, I help a lot of people as much as I can. You know, people got questions about shotguns and chokes and ammo and stuff. You know, I was helped so much over the years. I don't feel like I have an obligation to help anybody. It's just in my nature. Mm-hmm. I love doing it. I love talking about it. I love showing people and helping others. And, you know, when you go to like the convention, you know, with turkey calling, you know, it took me probably 3 years before I could really run a mouth call. And, you know, when you hear someone all of a sudden, it sounds like a barking dog with a mouth call. And it's a young kid. And, you know, and you look at him and you're like, that sounds so horrible. But you know what? You look at him and you go, hey, keep trying. You're going to get there. Because right now you're doing better than when I first started. You know, it took me such a long time. I had nobody really in Northern Indiana that could show me firsthand locally how to run a mouth call. A lot of times, you know, you talk to people and they could run one over and they could try and over the phone talk and try and tell you how to do it. And, you know, you just got to keep practicing. They'll never give up. But I know last year at the NWTF, that a young girl, she bought a mouth call and she started running it. And these guys that were with her and a couple other people, they started laughing. And she got halfway embarrassed. I told her, I said, look, I said, keep doing what you're doing. I said, you're actually, for the first time, you know, starting to sound like a turkey. Keep it up. Keep practicing. Don't give up. I said, you'll do better than all of them.
It takes a lot of bravery to start calling in front of people. I get nervous. I mean, I get nervous just to call in front of people. So kudos for her to, you know, keep trying. And that's what we need. We need more people like yourself out there encouraging others to continue to pursue their passion, because that's what it's all about. And the cards are already stacked, or the deck is already stacked against us. And we need more individuals like yourself. And I just want to express my gratitude of saying how thankful I am for you doing that and being outgoing like you are. You're the kind of person that I think Walt and I both try to be and try to show the next upcoming generation how turkey hunting should be.
You know, if you had more people like out there in this world, not just in the turkey industry, especially in the deer hunting industry, sometimes deer hunters, they just they lose their soul when it comes to deer hunting. And, you know, look, you've only got so many days on this earth. And if you're going to live right and do the best that you can. And, you know, it to me, make memories with everybody that you can in your family. Mm-hmm. You know, it's especially when it comes to turkey hunting. Turkey hunting is so much easier than just deer hunting. Deer hunting has so much more involved in it. Mm-hmm. And it takes up so much more time, and it can be more of a hassle just because of other people. You know, these people just want to argue and fight over it. Where turkey hunting, you know, you can walk into a place, sit down, hear them gobble, start calling to them. If they go the other way, you can circle around, get set back up on them, and, you know, try another day.
Yeah, you know, I try not to talk about those heathens any more than I have to, deer hunters specifically.
Yeah.
Patreon link will be in the description at the bottom of the show notes.
But I tell you what won't be there will be our ratings and review link.
Yeah.
It's going to be nothing but one stars after that comment. But you're right. I mean, honestly, like the difference is profound. You know, there's not been a single deer hunter who's given me a spot. Well, that's a lie. That's a lie. I've known one guy in the deer hunting community to give me a spot, and he didn't hunt it anymore. It was more like one of these, like, hey, I'll take you to the tree and to the area and have at it, right? And so I walked in there, and he goes, here you go. Here's your paradise. Figure it out. And then he left, and I figured it out.
Yeah.
Clay gave me 4 money spots. I'm talking you can go there every year. There are 4 or 5 gobblers there. You're going to be able to kill a bird if you pursue them.
Yep.
That's what he gave me day one.
Yep.
And I'll never forget texting Shane Simpson, and Shane just like providing all kinds of feedback, right? And just being, you know, Shane is like, for what he's accomplished, his head could be as big that it would never fit through any door.
Right.
And I'm sitting in the yard talking to Shane one day, and you couldn't tell, if you didn't know who Shane Simpson was, you would have just thought he was an avid turkey hunter. He was just one of those guys. And that just embodies through this community. And we could really use that in the deer hunting community, because if things were a little less contentious, I think we could be better off there, but I'm not going to go down that much further.
You know, the guy that was with me at my tabletop there in Webster, that's Doug Updike.
Yep.
Him and Shane are really good friends. And if you watched any of Shane's videos, Doug's in that. If you remember, Doug's the one that his stock came off on his Encore turkey gun. And, you know, that is so hilarious that, you know, how Shane put that all together in the video. I mean, gosh, if they could hunt like that, be together all the time.
I know.
That show could be, it could be crazy big.
I know.
Doug's life of the party, though, you know, so. Yeah. He's a great guy.
Doug reminded me a little bit of some of the older fellas that raised me, where like when you first start talking to him, they're just like a little touch standoffish. Then he's like, okay, you're a real turkey hunter. He was just, come sit down with me. Let's have a conversation. We're just talking stories but there's the barrier to entry for turkey is just so different. I mean, honestly, a shotgun, let's be honest, right? You could kill them with lead, been done for years and years and years.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I did for many years with lead.
Yeah. A box of shells off the shelf and a Quaker board box call from Walmart, you know, $250, and you can kill turkeys, right?
Yeah.
There's varying degrees of when that moment comes, do you have the stuff that's ready? And I think that's where TSS for me is an easy decision, because those opportunities, especially in like places like Florida and places where the passion for turkey exceeds the population.
Yep.
And the opportunities, when I pull the trigger, I want to know if I've done everything I need to, that there's not a hole this big somewhere in that pattern
for him to escape.
And if I only strafe him with, let's say I pull the shot and only strafe him with a tenth of the pattern, instead of that being 5 or 6 pellets, it's, you know, 20 or 30 pellets. And so we'll kind of get to that in a second. But I think, Daniel, you kind of had a question towards the top of your show notes, I think would be a great way to open this up.
Yeah,
this was something you asked me early on.
Yeah, so I have several questions here for you. But one of the main questions that came up was, and this was a rumor I heard, I don't know if it's true or not, but will steel shot mess up a shotgun barrel? And should I alternate like my waterfowl gun and just keep it waterfowl and then use TSS, lead, bismuth, you know, other shot out of another gun? So I've heard that steel will either mess up the barrel or mess up the choke. I'm not really sure. Maybe you can.
Well, you don't want to shoot steel shot through a turkey choke. The size of like the waterfowl steel, you know, you got say 4s, 3s, 2s, 1s, then you got double BB, triple BB, T's, F's. Those size of those shot with steel being, you know, hard, it's not dense like TSS is. With large shot like that right there, you're going to want on the very, you know, like a 700, 710 choke, maybe a little bit more open, a waterfowl choke. I can improve cylinder modified at the very most on a regular choke. Turkey chokes, typically, like in a 12 gauge, you know, you're looking at a 660, 665, 670 for turkey hunting. You know, so it's quite a bit of difference between that and waterfowl. The gun barrel itself, not a big deal. You can shoot anything through that. They're lead, steel, you know, TSS, whatever. But the actual choke, yeah, you want to kind of be specific, you know, for waterfowl alone or turkey.
So I'm completely fine with taking my shotgun, shooting improved cylinder number 4, you know, steel out of it.
Yes.
And then taking my turkey choke, throwing it in and shooting TSS. No damage is done.
Absolutely. You know, and if you're wanting like the best patterns, like out of a turkey gun, some barrels like to be shot dirty. Some barrels like to be shot super highly polished, clean. And, you know, if you was pattern testing, you see right away, you know, by the patterns you're getting with whatever choke tube that you've got on how that works. So, you know, when it comes to duck loads, waterfowl loads in general, you know, you could go the whole season without cleaning your barrel.
Right.
You know, so when it comes to turkey season, you know, if you shoot it, if it's crap pattern, then, you know, you're going to want to polish that barrel up, make it look, you know, bore, mirror shining, and then you can start pattern testing it with TSS or lead or whatever to get an optimum pattern.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks for clearing that up. That was a question that I had. And I think I actually asked Walt about that. And he was spot on.
That was a concern I had early on too, because I've got a Fox 20, the 311A from back when Sears sold, you know, side-by-side shotguns. And I've got a Remington 870 Express. It's not an Express. It's the really nice, like, stock, like the real nice walnut from like the 50s.
And Wingmaster,
thank you. And I was talking, you know, like to Clay, and I was like, I want to kill turkeys with these guns. These were my granddaddy's guns that he bought. You know, he never got to hunt turkey, but he bought them with the idea he was going to one day hunt turkey with them, you know, when the populations recovered. And so, you know, I don't want to mess them up, because you think about how heavy TSS is, the fact that it doesn't deform. And that's a wild rumor that goes, like, it's a pervasive issue. It's something that seems like every time I bring up TSS to somebody who doesn't know. And am I correct that basically the waddings are so advanced now that basically there's just no contact that's perceivable?
Well, you know, every wad has slits in it. That way, you know, when it comes out the end of the barrel, that it opens up and it separates itself from the shot, which they, you know, Indian Creek with the porting, and they have what's called wad catchers on the inside. It helps strip that wad away. So you can get contact from the TSS in the slits of the wad. But for the most part, you know, your TSS is in, you know, it's enclosed in that. You know, you would have to shoot a lot for it to start, you know, seeing negative wear and stuff like that there inside of a barrel. A lot of the TSS got really thick wads to help protect for that right there. You know, you're not going to want to do a lifetime of turkey hunt with either one of those guns. But in this case where, you know, you wanted to shoot a couple turkeys with them, do some pattern testing, you're not going to see anything that, you know, nothing negative that's going to happen. You're not going to see major barrel scoring, stuff like that right there. I mean, I've shot heavier than lead alternative tungsten based non-toxic shot, you know, for gosh, you know, 20 years now. Mm-hmm. You started with heavy shot back in the day. That's all you read about in any magazine article was heavy shot causes, you know, scoring in the barrel and stuff like that there. And a few guys would be like, okay, well, we could see marks in the barrel, but when you clean the barrel and you polish the barrel, you didn't see any marks anymore. And I shot so much waterfowl ammo with heavy shot back in the day that, you know, I mean, if there would have been something seriously wrong with using this type of non-toxic shot, I would have noticed it many, many years ago. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you take an old side-by-side or a double. I mean, come on. With my ammo, I mean, I have, you know, 2 2¾ and 1 3-inch. I also have a lot of waterfowl ammo. And several people over the last few years would buy, like, the 1 ounce, 1 ounce, 1 1/4 ounce loads, you know, for someone in their family or for an older shotgun. That way, the pressures that the turkey ammo of today with tungsten, you know, you don't want to beat an older gun up. You know, I mean, it's going to, I would shoot it like crazy and not worry about it myself. But, you know, other people, you know, family heirloom stuff is handed down. Right. You know, you don't want anything negative happen to it. So, you know, like if you was to call me up and say, hey, Bryce, you know, I got my grandfather side by side, or, you know, I've got this specific gun and I would love to kill a turkey with it. And do you have anything that you could, you know, help me with? You know, I'd be like, okay, look, we have like a 20 gauge. It's called the hot rod. It's 1 3/8. I have loaded that there with a lot less powder in it, and it shoots phenomenal like that there. It slows the speed down. It's a 1,300 feet per second load. You know, I can slow that down to where it's, you know, 1,100, and, you know, very safe, and, you know, it'll pattern great, usually out of a full choke, good enough that you're going to kill a turkey at 40 yards. I've seen a lot of patterns from older guns like that. There's people were shocked by how well it did pattern without having a turkey choke in it. But, you know, I'm very accommodating on that there. You know, as a manufacturing business, I try and, you know, help everybody that can. I mean, I can't do it every time, every day, but, you know, throughout the season or well before season, I'll get people ask, you know, can I shoot TSS through this? And I will work with them. You know, I'll get them a load that, you know, it's not going to beat them up with the gun. And, you know, it's going to make them feel great about being able to use a family heirloom.
So what you're saying is I need to get with you like in June, July to order stuff for that.
Well, if you want to kill a turkey with it this year, you want to get with me a whole lot sooner than that.
Well, I'm based on your Facebook posts, it seems like that might be a little bit of a limited challenge right now. But
oh yeah, I'm gonna tell you right now the it's crunch time, and you know, I'm not complaining. It's like it grows every year. I try and prepare, you know, to be able to do more every year because of it. And you know, this year, you know, I've got repeat customers as far as hunting stores. Mm-hmm. And which I'm blessed with. And I don't know if you guys know the Indian Creek, Stuart and Mike. Well, yep. They're the partners on that right there, and very, very good people, very humble people. And I am blessed to know both of them. But Stuart, his wife Becky, and son bought Midwest Turkey Call Supply. And yeah, give them a little bit of a plug because, you know, I bought stuff back in the day, you know, there was not a lot of place you could get good quality turkey hunting. You know, you didn't have Amazon, you didn't have eBay way back then. And Midwest Turkey Call Supply, I was introduced to that because of the NWTF forum, and I ordered stuff from them. And, you know, fast forward, they had the chance and they were able to actually buy that. The people that owned it were wanting to retire. And, you know, so they did a huge order with me this year. And I'm very excited about that there because, you know, you look back, gosh, it's like 15 plus years ago, you know, when I was buying Indian Creek chokes from Stuart and asking him questions on this. And here he was able to tell me about patterns and what shells and stuff like that. And you know, now here I am selling ammo to them guys. It's so cool.
It's a great turn of events.
Yeah.
So I think you're the cat's out of the bag in this capacity, but I'll ask the question anyways. You're an Indian Creek guy.
Yep.
What makes them special? Because there are a lot of elite turkey tubes out there. That's evidenced by the price point. They're very fond of a lot of these. So
right.
What goes into, and maybe this isn't necessarily something you really want to speak with intensity, but what goes into a turkey choke tube versus maybe something else?
Well, you know, you take a turkey choke tube, because back in the day, there were so many different choke tubes that I used, bought, and pattern tested with, you know, just to try and achieve the best pattern that I could. That way, when I did hunt, that, you know, I knew what I was able to do with that gun, with that choke, with that ammo. And when Indian Creek came out, you know, with a parallel porting, and then they did the wad catchers and inside there, how that choke worked is different than what other chokes, you know, I mean, it helps strip away the actual wad away from the shot. And, you know, they were winning like that still target championships like crazy. That they won 54 of them total with NWTF. It's been a few years ago, the NWTF, they just stopped doing it altogether, which was a heartbreaker because that was, it was like a friendly rivalry camaraderie between all the, you know, all the choke tube manufacturers. You know, they have had a chance to, you know, talk to each other, meet with each other and shoot against each other in competition. And, you know, when they done that there, it was 40 yards from the end of the barrel. Mm-hmm. And they would always count the 3-inch circle, how many pellets was inside that 3-inch circle at 40 yards. And, you know, sometimes it was one pellet difference between competitors on who won. And, every year, every time they did, we would always wait to hear, you know, who did what and see all the pictures on the NWTF forum and talk about the patterns and everything. And, you know, the reason why I stick with Indian Creek is, for one, they were so helpful with me, you know, asking them questions. They would help and let you know what shot the best for them and what gun, stuff like that there. Plus everybody else on the NWTF forum, a lot of people shot a lot of different things. There was quite a few different manufacturers back then. Well, with that, you have, when you do a lot of testing and a lot of pattern testing, like I did back in the day, when you shot, you know, 5 or 6 different types of choke tubes and you shot 10 different types of ammo, the one thing for me that kept happening is, yeah, you take choke company A with this load, it might shot just a little bit better than Indian Creek. But when you shot everything, Indian Creek did a better pattern across the board with different types of ammo. And of course, you know, it's just phenomenal patterns. And, you know, with lead, with heavy shot, with federal heavyweight back in the day. And then of course now with TSS, and it just keeps getting better. And it's, you know, the same basic choke tube design that they've had forever. And that's why I stick with Indian Creek. You know, I mean, I've seen a lot of other of my ammo shot through other chokes that shot very well, looked very good. But when you know someone like Mike and Stuart, and as helpful as they are, and they stand behind their chokes 100%, you know, even if something's not their fault, I've seen them take a choke back or exchange a choke. You know, that just tells you what kind of people they are. And that's what I strive to be also, you know, in my business. You know, we make mistakes. Sometimes we send the wrong ammo out to people, you know, mess an order up or whatever. So, you know, with shipping ammo a couple of years ago, we was using FedEx, and, you know, I was saving money with FedEx, but we had a run of, it was like 3 or 4 packages each week would not get delivered. And, you know, you can't wait for FedEx to reimburse you to take care of a customer. It's turkey season, you know. So I shipped a lot of ammo out that year that, you know, I had to resend it just to make sure the customer got it. And, you know, so since then I've switched to UPS, and it cost me a little bit more money. But I'll tell you what, at the end of the year, I think last year I had 3 packages that got lost somewhere versus like 40 from the year before.
Jesus.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man. And, you know, I'm thankful for that right there, because, you know, it might cost me a little bit more money. I'll lose a little bit of money because I do a flat rate shipping. I do $20. Sometimes it costs me $27. Sometimes it might cost me a little bit more, but I eat it. But I can go to bed at night knowing that UPS is going to deliver.
And I feel like that's what a lot of people want in their, if they're going to purchase something as expensive as TSS is. Right. You know, you're paying for a quality product, but if you don't get the product or something happens and it messes up, they want to know that they have that good customer service backing them up. And yep. So it's really good to hear that both you and the choke tube companies are doing a really good job with customer service. So For all our listeners out there who are interested in purchasing some ammo, you know, this would be a good start. And that's just one more reason to add them to your list.
Yeah, you know, and I get people
choke tube now.
Yeah, Indian Creek. I if it's in stock at Indian Creek, I should be able to help you get one.
Okay.
Yep.
We'll talk.
Right on.
I got another question for you, if you don't mind. And
go ahead.
Kind of debated, subjective question. What's an ethical shot? And
an ethical shot.
tell me why, you know, someone's ethical shot may be a little bit different than another person's, and what our listeners should strive for whenever they're choosing to take a good shot.
Hit them with a zinger.
Okay, I'll tell you right now what an ethical shot is. If you pattern test your gun, your choke, and your ammo, and you know for a fact that you can kill a turkey at 70 yards, and you are hunting, you got a turkey in the field, and it's at 70 yards, and you got a wide open shot, and you take that shot, that's ethical.
You're saying there's practice beforehand and preparation that goes into it. We can't just
exactly. Exactly. You know, when what I think is an unethical shot is, you know, back in the day, you always with the old Winchester high velocity or the old Federal, you know, 3.5 inch, 2.25 ounce leads, number 4s, 5s, or 6s. You was always hearing about that magic pellet. You know, a guy would shoot a turkey and he would miss and they'd take off running. And as it was running across the field, he'd shoot. And, you know, I killed that turkey at 70 yards. You know, and there's one pellet that hit that turkey. That's not an ethical shot. Yeah, I don't care what anyone says. You know, I mean, it's if you know what your gun is capable of, and you're confident that at 70 yards, you want to shoot that turkey, you can. You know, if you know, to me, that's up to you. You know, how you want to hunt, that's up to you. But, you know, if you're going to do it right. If you want to set in a blind and hunt, if you want to set in one spot and call turkeys all day and hunt, you know, that's one thing nice about America is, you know, you can do it your way. You can have fun your way. You can enjoy it. Whatever you do, you know, you're the one that's got to take that turkey, put it in the truck and, you know, get it checked in and go home with it. So, you know, are you going to be happy with what you've done? You know, I mean, you know, in this life, you know, we've all made mistakes in life and we've all went home or went to bed at night and like, well, that was crap. Why did I do that? You know, the same thing goes in hunting. You know, when I go hunting, I want to know what my yards I'm capable of doing. And, you know, progressing from when I first started turkey hunting, I was always worried about a 50, 60 yard shot, having that best. But, you know, now I progressed. Yeah, I know I can shoot 70 yards, but most of my turkeys that I've killed, they, at 25, 35 yards on average.
Right. Yeah. There's a lot of preparation that goes in beforehand and that
right.
You obviously like myself, if I make turkey calls, I use turkey calls all the time. You
yep.
load ammo, so you're shooting ammo all the time.
Yep.
So you've done the work beforehand to prepare yourself for the big stage so that whenever right. the time comes, you know that you're going to make a good, clean, ethical shot and not have to worry about all the outside, external factors that can play right. into it.
Right.
I think there's also some grace we need to start giving people. In that capacity, right? Like I'm not sitting here saying that you should be taking 75, 80 yard shots. I really don't care one way or the other. Honestly, I really don't. But I do believe that turkey hunting by and large is a game of getting as close as you possibly can. You know, people ask me all the time, well, what's your average shot? Because yep. you use 2SS. I'm right there with you. My average shot is somewhere between about 24 and 27 yards. But last year I was hunting a burn. Keep in mind, year three as a turkey hunter, right? I'm hunting a burn, fresh burn. I would have put the mortgage of my house. He was 40 yards.
Yep.
And as I'm running towards that bird, because he was doing more flopping than I expected, he was dead, but he was just flopping more than I expected. About halfway there, I went, oh, that was a bit of a poke, wasn't it? And I finally get to the bird and I look back at where I was and I stepped it off. It was 59 steps, large yep. hobbit steps. So somewhere around like 56 yards.
Yep.
And so it was one of those where it's like, okay, had I taken that hard stance of 40 yards or in and I had been a dick about it, then I would have been, you know, having to compromise kind of like, am I going to tell people like all this different? Man, I'm going to tell you right now, that bird was deader than a doornail.
Yep.
I was shaking like a freaking leaf. He was spitting and drumming. The right. sun was behind him. He was full fan. He was sitting there looking for that hen. The tips, I remember it like it was yesterday, the tips of his fan were yep. lit up by the sun that was right behind him. I'm going to tell yep. you right now, didn't matter if he was at 56 yards or 40 yards. That hunt was done. I had maneuvered that bird.
Yep.
And, you know, I knew I had about a 50-yard gun comfortably. I had shot it at 58.
I wouldn't have probably taken it. If he had ranged it and said, hey, it's 56, I probably would have passed on that bird.
Right.
Just because I want him a little closer. But I knew I had a gun where, by and large, if I felt compelled to pull the trigger, I wasn't going to be sitting there going, is it going to do the job?
Yeah.
You know,
that's like when people ask me how far I will shoot a turkey at, as far as I need to, you know, I don't travel to play games, you know, okay, is he 40 yards yet? Or is he 40.1? You know, some people say, I will not shoot a turkey past 40 yards.
Yeah.
Well, I'm gonna tell you right now, you know, when you travel, you know, you're in a different state and the lay of the land is different. Like I'm in flatland Indiana. Okay. Mm-hmm. I can hunt anywhere around here and I can tell you about the yardage of everywhere. You know, I deer hunted here since I was 11 years old. So, you know, I mean, I can walk around and say, yeah, this is 50 yards, that's 70 yards, that's 80 yards. And, you know, when you're out of state, no, you know, I mean, the way like the hill goes down and it comes back up, you know, you might think that's 80, 90 yards, but it might only be 50 yards. So, you know, you've got that right there. What you think is 50 yards, it really could be 80 yards. You know, you go some out west, some of those turkeys, you know, we have big gobblers here in Indiana. You know, I've killed so many two-year-olds that were 21 to 23 pounds. And that turkey here is the third one I've ever killed. That was 26 pounds.
Jesus.
And, inch and 3/8 spurs. But, you know, some of these Western birds, you know, they look like they're 50 pounds. They're not that big, but you know, if you try to judge the body size, you know, you're looking at it, you know, it might look like it's okay. That turkey's at 35 yards. It could be 65 yards. Mm-hmm. You know, that's where one thing nice about TSS is, you know, your chances of actually wounding a turkey is less with TSS than say heavy shot or lead. And you know, that gives you a little bit of a buffer there that, you know, if you got a kid hunting with you or whatever, and you know, they shoot best of turkey, it takes off running, they rack another shell and they bang again, you know, if they hit it, you know, I mean, you it's pretty much going to be dead.
Mm-hmm. When my first season in 2020, I shot a bird one time, and I'm not going to say he was going to get away, but I wasn't convinced he was dead, and he was moving away from me, and I was able to pull the trigger and just like lights out, cancel Christmas. Yep. Right.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget then looking back and being like, well, there's another benefit, right? Yep. You know, maybe you want to play the close game, but let's say you've wounded that bird and he's flopping and you've pulled the shot and you've like really screwed the pooch and that bird could get away and you'd never see him again.
Right.
And I wouldn't be opposed at that point to having a 60 yard capable firearm. I mean, I almost missed a bird at 20 yards one time.
Yep. Oh yeah. I mean, I've missed them close. I've missed them far too. I'm not going to lie to anybody. Yeah. Allegedly. But, but it happens. I hunted with Burris Optics, Logan Holtz, a couple of years ago in South Dakota. And I hurried up and had a new load called the HSHDT, Robert McCormick's load. He's down in Florida. And I really wanted to hunt with that load, and I shot at 40 yards and had to adjust. And I adjusted again. I shot and I need to adjust a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Well, when I adjusted that last time, I went backwards. I did not shoot the third time. So I travel all the way to the Black Hills of South Dakota on film. Logan Holtz, it's Holtz Outdoors on YouTube. You could look it up and find me missing a gobbler at beautiful Merriam at 40 yards. You see the wad sail through the air like a foot over the fan. And I had to, you know, suck it up. I blew some snot bubbles, cried a little bit, you know. Oh, yeah. So I actually went back 2 weeks later and I killed another one, another spot. That was a really nice one. But yeah, me and Logan, we laugh. Every time we laugh about that there, because the first things out of my mouth when I said that, I said, man, have you ever had a fast fire 3 fail on you? And he goes, never. Yeah. You know, so we had to go back to camp. I had to shoot at 40 yards. And sure enough, at 40 yards, man, it was like a foot and a half above the turkey target. So, yeah, that's it. I told him, I said, I know it was me, dude. You know, I knew that when I shot and I watched the wad fly through the air. But that was hilarious.
Oh, man. Yeah, at least get it on camera.
Exactly. They're going to do something stupid.
These birds
on camera.
Yeah. What's wrong with your red dot? Come on, man.
Yep.
So what's the difference? What makes TSS different than like lead? Like what's so special about it?
Well, okay. One thing about lead is, I'll kind of tell you a little bit of a difference between lead and TSS. Of course, lead is soft. TSS is dense and extremely hard. With that, you got a couple things that happen is with lead, when you pattern test lead at 15 to 20 yards, you got like a softball or a golf ball sized hole and with a couple pellets around it. Now, with TSS at really close range, you've got that same hole, but you got this uniform pellet pattern around the hole. So it's actually, TSS is actually more open at really close range versus lead. But when you go from 15, 20 yards to 40 yards, you'll notice right away that the lead pattern has opened up quite a bit bigger than the TSS. So the TSS, what it does is it's more forgiving up close. It's tighter at 40. So what it's doing is the pattern, because of the hardness and the density of the shot, how it cuts through the air, it stays tighter together at longer distance. You know, you take lead, then you go from 40 to 50 yards, you know, the pattern for a lead is going to be quite a bit less. Where TSS, you know, it's still killable. You know, and if you kept checking that there, you know, if you shot all the way out to 70 or 80 yards, you know, you would find in some loads that TSS is still viable at extremely long distances. And that's one thing that you have to be careful of versus lead. I mean, I don't want no one to get shot with anything. You know, I don't want any accidents to ever happen in the turkey woods. Stuff does happen. You know, when you're hunting public land, if you walk in a place really early, you got a turkey gobbling, you set up, you got a decoy right there, you might have someone who's not that smart or that ethical. They're going to try and sneak in and go around you. And if you're shooting TSS, you know, yeah, it's going to be a lot worse on somebody than with lead. Case in point, last year I hunted Mississippi with a gentleman named Chris Crow, good customer of mine. Actually, a really good friend of mine now. We've become really close. He invited me to come down and hunt Mississippi. I went down and hunted. One of his guys that work with him helps take care of all of his hunting properties. His name is Jacob Gray. And we were shooting this pistol in between hunts and shooting in patterns at 40 yards. And they got a 1,000-yard gun range. And they got the silhouette at 100 yards. And I said, hey, try shooting that. And Jacob's like, with this 410? And I'm like, yeah, let's try shooting. He's like, okay, it's your ammo. So we shot it at 100 yards. And I heard it ding. Now, it wasn't the AR plate that ding, because, you know, that thing's like 1 inch thick. Mm-hmm. But the tube that holds that up, I heard that ding. Well, we walked and looked at it, and I've got a picture on my phone that this is a 410, 3-inch, 7/8-ounce payload. It's like 1,100 feet per second. At 100 yards, he aimed a foot over the top of the silhouette. The metal tubing that holds that silhouette up, it actually dented into the metal of that tubing. That's a 410.
That's crazy.
I mean, yeah, we were blown away. I mean, I never would have thought that would have happened. Mm-hmm. But we were both like, can you believe that actually dented? You know, I mean, that's 9.5 by 10. That was a duplex load that we were shooting. I can't imagine, like, you know, TSS number 7s or number 8s, what that would do to somebody at 100 yards away. That would burn somebody up. You know, so with TSS, you know, yeah, it's superior than lead, heavy shot, stuff like that right there. But you have to be aware of your surroundings and where you're hunting and who else could be hunting there. You know, you just can't be out just burning up the woods.
So I just want the listeners to know that I have messaged Logan to confirm that that story actually happened, and
it actually happened.
He just validated it.
It's so true, man. I'm not gonna lie about that.
So what's really weird about this is Logan was one of the first guests we had from the West in 2019. So okay, that's like a decade ago. So I had to throw that in there. I knew you'd enjoy that. But
yeah, that's great.
We when Clay was building his capture trap, because evidently TSS can be expensive. He had his recapture trap. We were at 40 yards. We were shooting 9.5s.
Yep.
And he only had like 3 of the 1-inch horse mats dangling.
Okay. Yep.
Right. And pulled the trigger, thing kicks like a mule. Couldn't believe how hot he had that thing. And he goes, man, I think I may have that a little hot. I'm like, yeah, maybe. I don't know. We'll see. We get down there and the pattern, it's the first time I've ever seen TSS. He's like, hey, come out here and shoot this round through your Mossberg. I'm like, okay. It's gorgeous. I'm just like, oh my God, this is next level. I needed to get a different choke tube because it was too wide, but it was just like anything in a 36 inch circle was dead. And we look at the back of that trap. There's a, I think it was like an 1/8 inch or 1/4 inch piece of steel he had back there. And it was like 30 pellets blew through that at 40 yards. Yeah.
Yep.
And I was like,
yep.
Oh my God, this is different.
Yeah. I have a pellet trap also. And it's 1/4 inch steel. Yeah, so you know, I make sure that it don't go through that.
Yeah, yeah.
But I only shoot turkey shot through it. I do a lot of coyote ammo. Yeah, and I haven't attempted to shoot that because it would burn right on through it.
Yeah,
especially at 40 or 50 yards.
Yeah, he's. I think we recovered like 1/3 of the load. It felt like at that.
That's hilarious. Might be a little hot.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. We're coming up on an hour. So I think Daniel and I, we have this over-enthusiasm as to how many questions we can pack into a podcast. And at the end of the podcast, we kind of have to like pick our little closing questions.
Yeah.
So I've got one. It's kind of a quick answer. And then Daniel, if you've got a follow-up, we'll do that before we do our rapid fire to close this out. If someone is on a budget, right?
Yep.
And I'm sure you get this all the time, but I feel like hearing it from the horse's mouth would be a big benefit to people making this decision. And they had to choose between doing more hunting or investing in TSS, whether that's in state, you know, traveling to hunt somewhere else where they can hunt, or going out of state. What is your advice to them? Is it to invest in that TSS for the future, or to just continue rocking what they have that works?
Well, I would always suggest using TSS. You know, cut back on little things. Yeah. At the end of the year, you know, you don't have to just wait till turkey season to buy any ammo or TSS to load your own. Mm-hmm. You can do that year round. Back in the day, that's what I did with Heavy Shot. I mean, I found Heavy Shot on sales where I bought it, you know, as much as I could get my hands on, you know, cause it's stuff's not cheap, but, you know, with TSS, gosh, you know, I've had guys that it seems like once a month they're ordering ammo. And instead of them waiting at the last minute and, you know, trying to buy 5 boxes or 10 boxes, you know, for the whole turkey season for traveling or whatever, they, you know, kind of rolled out through the year. So that would be my choice.
Yeah. I'm kind of the same mindset. I think there's a lot of people who, you know, maybe instead of getting the Big Mac, you get a couple, you know, McDoubles and call that supper. You know,
that's right.
And you know, and I don't know about, I mean, I think a lot of these people are better turkey hunters than I am, because I'm lucky to pull the trigger one time in a season and I can justify $10.
Right. Absolutely.
Daniel, what you think, man? You got a closer?
Yeah. If you had to, shameless plug here, I guess, for your business, if you had to pick one load to recommend to people who want to get into it, who know nothing about TSS, they've shot lead their entire lives, they love the number 4 long beard XRs and whatnot, what TSS blend or which load would you recommend they get?
Well, typically the majority of people out there are still hunting with 12 gauge. Of course, you know, 20 gauge has been popular for a long time. 410 has become extremely popular now. So if you look at it in a 12 gauge standpoint, someone that's only shot lead, 3.5 inch lead, whatever, long beard XR, whatever. I would say I have a couple loads in 12 gauge, 2 3/4, the Twister with number 8 shot. That right there, easily a 70 yard round with a 2 ounce load, and it'll pattern, you know, 5 times better than any lead 4 or 5 shot. So, you know, a lot less recoil. It's still a fast payload and its pattern is extremely well compared to lead. I mean, there's no comparison. When you get people who've shot lead for years and they shoot even a 2 3/4 12 gauge round of TSS number 8s, it blows their mind. You know, of course, number 9s gives you a higher pellet count, but killability with number 8s doesn't matter if it's thick brush or thick grass in a field. You know, if his head is up and you can see the red, put the bead on it, squeeze the trigger, he's a goner with like number 8s. So that would be, you know, Twister 8s, even the 3-inch Thunder 8s, 8x9 duplex. I love hunting with that combo and several of my guns. You know, that right there would be it.
Fantastic. We'll have to hope the listeners are paying attention to that little piece right there, because that can pay off, and that can, you know, be the difference of a successful turkey hunt this year and versus, you know, wanting to sell your equipment, give it up, and
every year.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I make the threat every year.
Yeah.
I've never threatened to quit.
Oh, I have, and it's always self-inflicted. It's like the 2021, I have a turkey drumming. First time I ever hear it. It's a super windy day. And I think that there's a truck coming down the road blasting bass, just boom, boom, boom. And I'm like, God dang it. Here I am trying to do this turkey thing. And I look over my shoulder to see the truck, because I'm not far off of a road and no one around here respects whether you're supposed to be on the road or not. And as I turn to look over, and I've got it in my chest. I'm like, I'm going to just holler at this guy for coming down this road. It's the turkey opener. Never killed a turkey. And I turn my head like this. And as I turn right to my left, I see him in full strut. He goes, "The hell?"
Yeah.
Right.
And it just changed right.
I was listening to a turkey drum and I thought it was bass from a truck. I mean, it's windy. It's like 20 mile an hour sustained wind. He's right there. He's going right to where I wanted him to be. It would have been dead lights out, opening bird. I mean, unreal. Dude, I almost sold everything I had right just then and there.
Leave your gun, leave your vest, walk.
Yeah. That right there. Something like that hurts deep.
Oh,
you know, you don't forget stuff like that right there. You know, the ones that get away, like, you know, missing the turkey with Logan Holtz, you know, out in South Dakota. You know, I still cry at night over that.
Oh, yeah. 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 I may forget many birds. I hope I get to the point where I forget some of the kills, right? I hope I get to that point. I don't know that it'll happen, but I guarantee you, I will never forget my first bird or that one. Never. Yeah, it's never going anywhere.
Absolutely. You know, you have fleeting moments where you don't remember everything, but then something will trigger and you remember something that, you know, from that's one memory that you can have from every hunt that you remember for life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Daniel, we're going to do our rapid fire here, sir. The way this works is, don't think, Bryce. You just answer right off the top, and we're just going to take a question and work our way down, and it should only take a few seconds.
Is this like yes or no?
You'll see.
Okay.
Daniel, the first one's yours, so I'll let you lead off.
Oh, yeah, and I love this one. I wrote this one earlier today, and it just happened to play out. So first one I have, red dot or old school bead?
Red dot every time.
410 or 20 gauge?
Why not both?
Okay, fair enough. Daniel, why don't you skip the next one? Because I have a feeling we know the answer.
Yeah, I was going to say he knows
that one. TSS was the next one, but we'll just skip it.
I'm going to go down to box call or trumpet.
Trumpet.
Decoy or no decoy?
Depends on the situation.
No, you got to pick one. I'm going to call you. You got to pick one.
Well, as much as I travel, I hate carrying a decoy, so I'm going to say no decoy.
Yes. All right. Go ahead.
But I'll use one.
Bearded hen or triple bearded tom?
Triple bearded tom.
I'm going to have to change that one. That was too easy for people. Beards or spurs?
Spurs.
Okay.
Turkey vest or no vest?
Turkey vest.
Favorite locator call?
The Harrison Owl Hooter. Or now it's the Torpedo. James Harrison, you can't beat that one.
Favorite subspecies?
Well, right now I don't have a Rio killed, so I would have to say it'd be the Barium.
Okay. Favorite state?
Ooh, that's a tough one because there's so many beautiful states I've been to. Actually, I'm going to say South Dakota, the Black Hills.
Favorite podcast?
This one.
Hey.
All right. You're welcome back on the show. Camo pattern of choice.
Okay. I'm a kind of guy that I will wear anything to kill a turkey. It doesn't matter. I mean, I'm a short, stocky kind of guy. So when it comes to hunting pants, I wear brown because they fit me and I can move around in them. Factory camo pants do not fit me.
Yeah,
I cannot walk in them. It rubs me raw. So, you know, as far as like a shirt or whatever, I mean, I wear Mossy Oak, Sitka. I've got some Kuyu, a green shirt with, the, I don't know, whatever.
Yeah,
I'll wear
whatever.
It.
Whatever fits.
That's right. Whatever I'm comfortable in.
There you go.
Hey, I'll wear a Speedo if you take me turkey hunting. I don't care.
I would not go hunting with you in a Speedo. I would draw the line right there. I don't care if it's a camo Speedo, dude. We're not hunting together.
It's bottom land. I've got it picked out. It's bottom land. You'll never know it's a Speedo. It's gone.
I would expect you to be in a real tree Speedo, but not bottom land. Come on.
Let's see where we're at. The next one, our super... All I can picture is Walt in a lime green Speedo trying to dance around and hide from a turkey.
With the vest on.
Yeah. He'd probably kill the biggest turkey of his life doing it.
Yeah.
Oh, probably. God. Okay.
Are Super Jakes real?
Absolutely.
Have you ever passed on a Tom?
Have I ever passed on a Tom?
Mm-hmm. Had him in the sight, didn't pull the trigger.
Oh, gosh. Well, yeah, because when you hunt with other people and you want someone else to kill one, I have done that.
Good favorite man. Turkey book.
Favorite what?
Turkey book.
Turkey hunting.
Favorite turkey channel.
Gosh, I hardly ever get to watch turkey channels. But and there's a few good ones out there. I couldn't name one off the top of my head.
Okay. Fair. You're too busy. You're too busy out there supporting the turkey community to be a consumer of content.
Yep.
Well, listen, dude, I appreciate you to no end because you told us just how busy you are. If you go to his website right now, you'll see just how busy he is. So
I have nothing online.
I was actually going to patronize you and actually buy something for me today, and I was like, I'll buy 28s if he's got to, no, there's nothing there. It's all
no. So no, it's not. I'm still recovering from the two shows that I've done, plus all the hunting stores I've sent orders to. But
yeah.
If for my repeat customers or new customers that's wanting to get the ammo, it will be on shortly.
There you go. Yeah. And here's what I suggest. You got a guy that's a lifetime turkey expert. People ask me questions all the time. If I don't know the answers and I give you an answer, it's because I've gone to somebody like Price to get the information and provide it to you. So if you've got a gun, you're worried about money, you want to try and dial in a choke tube and a shot size combo, just shoot the guy a message. I guarantee you he'd be all too willing to help you. Yep. I get the feeling he likes turkey hunting, and so I have a feeling he's got an answer and he'd be willing to speak to you. So dude, I just want to say thanks again for jumping on the show with us.
Hey, thanks for having me, and we'll do it again sometime, and I will definitely be in Webster again next year.
Okay, and we need to turkey hunt at some point. Maybe,
absolutely.
Maybe not with Burris Optics, though.
Well, yeah. Well, maybe with Logan and Quiet Cat. So there we go.
There you go.